So if you have your Bibles, let's just turn to Exodus chapter 12. It's a passage you may know well, but I just thought it'd be wonderful to start the year of looking at Jesus, our Passover lamb, as we come to break bread this morning, as we come to just remember what Jesus has done for us in this place. And Lord, we pray for your blessing upon your word this morning, and every time we gather, Lord, we pray that we would know a fresh and new anointing upon your word. Lord, we pray that your word would be honored in this place and preached with great power and great conviction and great tenderness and great clarity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let's read Exodus chapter 12. We're going to read from verses 1 to 14. Maybe you know the story. In fact, the movie's on the circuit at the moment, Exodus. I think it's called God and Kings. It's a bit expensive, but it's in 3D, but it's on the circuit at the moment, the story of Exodus. And if you remember, when we finished Genesis, through Genesis, do you remember that Jacob's sons sold Joseph, one of the sons, into slavery? Remember that? And he got sent off to Egypt. And I think Benson preached on that last year, and he got sold into slavery. But God had his hand on him and raised him up in Egypt. And he became the prime minister of Egypt, and he was a type of Christ, and he saved the people through gathering grain through the years of famine so that they were able to stay alive. And eventually the brothers and the whole family came to Egypt, and they lived there. His other 11 brothers, and there was great reconciliation, forgiveness. And they multiplied in Goshen, in the land of Egypt, and eventually another Pharaoh, another king of Egypt rose up who oppressed the Israelites and made them slaves. And so they eventually stayed in Egypt for 430 years. And they began to cry out to God for deliverance and for him to deliver them from the land of Egypt, from their slavery and from their bondage. And God heard their cry, and God raised up Moses and sent Moses back. He was in the desert. He'd run away and sent Moses back to deliver the people of Israel. And he came back to Pharaoh and he said, you need to let the people go that they may worship me. And Pharaoh wouldn't let them go. And so there were 10 plagues that took place in Egypt. And as God visited the land in judgment in order to release his children from the land of Egypt. And here we come in Exodus chapter 12 to the last of the plagues and the last of the judgments of God upon the land of Egypt, where God said, I'm now going to strike the firstborn. I'm going to kill the firstborn in the land in order for you to let my people go, that they may worship me and proceed to the promised land and establish themselves as the people of God. So let's pick up our story here in Exodus chapter 12 together. And it says, and the Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, this month shall be for you the beginning of months, and it shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell all the congregation of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take a lamb according to their father's houses, a lamb for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then he and his nearest neighbor shall take according to the number of people, according to what each one of you can eat, shall make your count for the lamb. And the lamb shall be without blemish, a male a year old. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. And you shall keep it until the 14th day of this month, when the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill their lambs at twilight. And then they shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. And they shall eat the flesh that night, roasted on the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. They shall eat it. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted, its head with its legs and its inner parts. And you shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning you shall burn. In this manner you shall eat it, with your belt fastened, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. And you shall eat it in haste, for it is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn on the land of Egypt, both men and beast, and on all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And no plague shall befall you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. And this day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord. throughout your generations as a statute forever. You shall keep it as a feast. Amen. Amen. May God speak to us through His Word, as He's spoken to us also through these prophetic words this morning, and we'll have them typed up and make them available to us as a congregation so that we continue to pray into them in the weeks and months to come. And so this morning, folks, as we gather, I'd like us to gather by looking at the story of this Passover lamb and the lamb that was slain to release the Israelites from Egypt. And we will, as I said already, we'll break bread this morning. There are two sacraments or two important things that we celebrate in the church, in the New Testament church. One is breaking of bread, where we remember what Jesus has done for us. And the other is believers' baptism, where we baptize people because they've become part of the people of God. And so this morning, as we come to break bread, I want to focus on this Exodus story because it's a wonderful model of God's deliverance of His people, how He saved us from sin and from slavery, because redemption is deliverance. And the story is also pointing to Jesus, our great deliverer. And it's just an amazing story. So as you read this story, look for Jesus in the different points that I'm going to bring out this morning as well, as we learn from the story. Corinthians also tells us that the Old Testament serves as an example for us to follow as we learn from these Old Testament stories. And this particular story about slavery and redemption and being set free has been particularly relevant in my own life as well, as God has done stuff in my own life as well and set me free from stuff and is at work in my life just as He's at work in all of our lives. And so, friends, this Passover, this story in Exodus 12 is really the most important thing in Israel's history. It was central to the history of Israel, just as the cross and Jesus Christ is central to us as believers in Jesus. And what we're wanting to do this morning is to open up the story about the Passover and represent Christ. And that's what we'll be doing every week in this place, really. We'll be representing Christ, presenting Jesus to the city of Pietermaritzburg and all that He has done for us. And as we continue to rediscover the gospel, it's what began in Scottsville Primary School for us, and we continue to do is to stick with the gospel and to stay with Jesus because He's the most important person. Hallelujah. And so we're remembering Jesus as we prepare to also move into 2015. We want to do that with Christ, with Him. And so I'm going to preach over 2 weeks from this Exodus chapter 12. The first week, I want us to see what God did in Egypt as He prepared the Israelites for deliverance. And then next week, we'll see as they begun the journey into the promised land and across the Red Sea, what we need for our journey as we proceed into 2015 and all that God has for us this year. And so I just want to pick out five things this morning as we prepare our hearts to come and break bread. And the first thing I want you to see is that, I think our points will be up there. I think the first thing I want you to see is that God told the Israelites to take a lamb and to slaughter the lamb and to take the blood and to put the blood on the doorposts, the outside of the houses. And there's a reason for that. The reason for that is that God is looking for the blood. The blood is first of all for God to see. God said to the Israelites, when I see the blood, I will pass over your houses. I will not come and bring judgment in those houses. I will pass over those houses. Can you just turn me down a little bit, please? I will pass over those houses. And so we need to see here that the sacrifice of the lamb, the idea of shedding of blood, was actually God's idea. It was God's plan. God's plan has always been that blood would be shed to cover our sins. Jesus' death also satisfied God. It wasn't just to save us, but it was also to satisfy God. God is looking for the blood. It's God's way. It's His way of salvation. And friends, the blood that was shed is for God first. It's not for us. The blood was on the outside of the houses. They couldn't see the blood, but God could see the blood. And God says to us this morning, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. I'll pass over your house in judgment. And so the blood satisfies God's justice. It satisfies His holiness. God demands the blood and He provides the blood. He provides the lamb. It was God's idea. It was his way to save us. They never knew about this before. It was not something that they understood as a nation. And God said, this is what I want you to do. This is how I'm going to save you. This is how I'm going to deliver you. Through the blood of a lamb. Through the blood of a sacrifice. I'm going to save you. And that's what he does for us, friends. That's how we are saved. If you know Jesus today, if you're a Christian today, you've been saved by the blood of Jesus. Jesus' blood was shed in your place. If you don't know Jesus today, the blood of Jesus has been also shed for you. You may not know that. If you're not a Christian today, the blood of Jesus has been shed for you. The blood of Jesus was shed for the whole world. His blood covers the sins of the entire universe. The blood of Jesus covers everything. It's so powerful. And even when Jesus came to Jerusalem, in Matthew chapter 26, he said to his disciples, it is now the Passover. We need to prepare for the Passover. Jesus himself became our Passover lamb. Jesus died at the Passover when they were getting ready to slaughter the lambs. And remember this day, which is central in Israel's history, Jesus knew that he was going to soon die as our Passover lamb. Hallelujah. When they put Jesus to death, they didn't realize that he was also the great Passover lamb that was slain for the sins of the world. And so, friends, my first point is this. The blood is for God to see. God is looking for the blood. That's what he's looking for. He said, when I see the blood, I will pass over. I will not judge you. I will pass over in judgment. And that's such good news for us. Hallelujah. Secondly, I want you to see that the lamb was inspected. They had to inspect the lamb. They had to make sure that there was nothing wrong with the lamb. The lamb had to be perfect and without defect. All eyes were on the lamb. The eyes were not on the people. The eyes were on the lamb. When you brought the lamb to the priest, or in this case in the household, they would inspect the lamb. In fact, they kept the lamb for 4 days in their homes, inspecting the lamb. From the 10th to the 14th day, this little lamb, maybe it ran around a bit. Maybe the children played with it, but they were watching the lamb to see if the lamb was perfect before they slaughtered it. And when you become a Christian, God's eyes are not firstly on you and your sins and whether you're perfect. God's eyes are on the lamb. It's the lamb that's inspected. It's not us that are inspected. They inspected the lamb. And then the head of the household would say on the 14th day, this lamb is perfect. I find no fault with this lamb. The lamb is ready to be slaughtered. And then they would slaughter the lamb. The lamb's blood would be shed. And it's interesting, even Jesus himself, you may not know this, but he arrived in Jerusalem 4 days before he was crucified. He came into Jerusalem for 4 days. And for those 4 days, they questioned him. They tried to trap him. They tried to trick him. They tried to find fault in him. And they could find no fault in Jesus. Even Pilate, the Roman governor, he said to the Jewish leaders, he says, I find no fault in this man. He's innocent. They looked at Jesus and they inspected him and they found that he was perfect. Hallelujah. Jesus was perfect. He passed God's inspection in our place so that we would not be judged. Hallelujah. And so that we can approach the throne of grace with confidence. So that we can talk to God and we can receive grace and mercy. Why? Because Jesus was perfect and he was inspected in our place. Hallelujah. And so, friends, salvation for Israel then and salvation for us now comes because of the sacrifice of a substitute. Someone took your place. Do you know that? Someone actually took your place. God does not ignore sin. Or withhold punishment from Israel and just punish the Egyptians. Maybe, you know, lots of people are very pro-Israel. Maybe you feel, well, God came to punish the Egyptians. Well, actually, the Israelites were just as guilty as the Egyptians. The Egyptians sinned, and Israel also sinned. Pharaoh refused to hear Moses, so did Israel. Pharaoh was in unbelief, so was Israel. The Israelites also served the gods of Egypt. And later when they left Egypt behind, Moses had constant problems in the wilderness because they kept wanting to go back to Egypt and worship the gods of Egypt. In Joshua chapter 24, Joshua says to them, before they're going to conquer the land of Canaan, he says, now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and faithfulness. Put away the gods your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. So he called them to repentance. So the Israelites were not innocent. They were as guilty as the Egyptians. The Bible says that we all fall short of the glory of the Lamb. But for Israel, the difference was this, that the Lamb died instead of Israel's firstborn. The Israelite firstborn would have died if they'd failed to follow God's instructions. God's holiness was a danger to them also. You know, God can be dangerous if you don't know Jesus. Do you know that? In his book on redemption, Mike Wilkinson said, imagine at midnight when the Lord's messenger of death passed from house to house. Imagine him arriving at the first home and looking through the windows and seeing the idols of Egypt and the fact that people were idol worshippers. And he enters and he claims the life of that family's firstborn. And then he goes to the second house and he looks through the window and he sees the same thing. And he slays the firstborn in that home. And then he comes to the third house and he looks through the window and he sees the Egyptian gods and idols. But then he looks up and he sees on the doorpost, there's blood on the doorpost. And he stops. And he moves on. Because he sees the blood. Hallelujah. When God sees the blood, friends, he passes over. His blood is a substitute for the firstborn son. And it's the same on the cross. God doesn't just ignore our sins. He punishes Jesus for our sins. And the angel of death came at midnight. Came at midnight. And they had load shedding. There was no electricity in those days. It was dark in the land. And I don't know. We need to think through these stories. Blood is a dark color. You can't really see blood at night on a doorpost. Unless you shine a torch on it. But God sees the blood. Even at night. He sees the blood. Hallelujah. And he passes over. Why does God pass over? Because death has already taken place in that house. Justice has been done. The innocent has died in the place of the guilty. God requires that there should be a death penalty because of sin. And when he sees the blood, he's satisfied. And he passes over. So friends, it's not just God's mercy that saves us. But it's also his righteousness that's satisfied, his holiness, his justice that's upheld by the blood of Jesus. Hallelujah. And we have peace with God because he is satisfied. And friends, only the blood of Jesus, only the blood of Jesus can deal with sins. You ask every other religion. Ask a Muslim, ask a Hindu, ask other people. Let me ask you one question. How do you deal with your sins? They cannot give you a good answer. Cannot give you a good answer. It's only the blood of Jesus that can deal with sin. Can wash away our sin. In Hebrews chapter 9, you may want to turn there with me. Hebrews chapter 9 is the writer to the Hebrews talking about Christ, our great high priest. He says this. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. He says, indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood. And without the shedding of the blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. So it was necessary for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these rites. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has entered, not into holy places made with hands, temples, or tabernacles, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself repeatedly, as the high priest enters the holy places every year with blood on not his own. For then he would have had to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all, at the end of the ages, to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as is appointed for men to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly awaiting for him. Hallelujah. That's what the blood of Jesus does. Point number four, the blood of Jesus also makes atonement. What does atonement mean? It means it covers over our sins. It hides our sins out of sight. They're covered by the blood of the Lamb. Hallelujah. So God needs the blood and we need the blood. You'll find Moses often, he came into the temple and he sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat for God to see. No one saw that except the high priest. It was for God, the blood. So God needs the blood, but then he'd come outside and he'd dip the blood in hyssop. It was like a plant and he'd sprinkle it on the people. We need the blood. And what does the blood do for us, friends? It covers our sins. It makes atonement. It's life for life. It's the blood covering over our sins, saving us and covering us, cleansing us and forgiving us. Hallelujah. You may notice that the other nine plagues, what is there, blood and frogs and all these other horrible things, it did nothing to budge Pharaoh. It did nothing to free the Israelites. He just got tougher and he got harder and he imposed more harsher slavery on the Israelites. They had to go and find straw and make their own bricks, and it just made him harder and tougher. But the blood, once the blood of the Lamb was shed, suddenly everything changed. Suddenly, before they couldn't get out. Once the Lamb was slain, they rushed out. The Egyptians begged them to go. They said, please, you need to go. There's something about the blood of Jesus that changes nations. There's something about the blood of Jesus that changes our lives. Hallelujah. But fifthly and lastly, the blood also had to be applied though. They had to take the blood. They had to receive the blood. And they had to put the blood on the doorpost, friends. They couldn't just slaughter the lamb and eat the lamb and sit inside. They had to obey God's instructions and they had to apply the blood of the lamb on the doorpost. Otherwise, the angel of death would still have come. They had to shelter under the blood. Whether they had great faith or whether they had weak faith, whether they were great sinners or little sinners, it didn't matter. Their nationality didn't matter. Their morality didn't matter. Their culture didn't matter. There's only one thing that mattered. Did they take the blood and put the blood on the doorpost? Did they stay under the blood? That's what God said. Stay under the blood of Jesus. Apply the blood of Jesus. You know, there are lots of people that know that Jesus died. You know that? They know he died. They know he died upon a cross, but it doesn't save them. Knowing that Jesus died, knowing that the Lamb was slain, is not enough. You have to receive the blood. You have to take the blood. And you have to believe in what God has done. And saying, Lord, I take this blood for myself. To cover me. To cover my sins. To cover my life. Hallelujah. And so that's what they did. They applied the blood. And whoever applied the blood was saved, was delivered, was covered, was set free. Hallelujah. And so friends, as we enter 2015, let's enter this year with our eyes on Jesus. Can we do that? And let's have faith in the blood of Jesus. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. We've only had 4 days of 2015. But we do have faith that God is going to bless us this year. Amen? We do have faith that he's got great things ahead for us as well. It's the evidence of things not yet seen. Matthew Henry said, faith demonstrates to the eye of the mind the reality of things that cannot be seen by the eye of the body. And so as we enter this year, let's enter it with faith. Let's trust God that he has great things for us this year. That's what Moses did. It says to us in Hebrews chapter 11, that by faith, Moses kept the Passover and sprinkled the blood. Hallelujah. Moses was a man of faith. He was the grandson of Pharaoh. I know a lot about grandchildren now. I'm an expert. Moses was the grandson of the most powerful man in the world. It's like being the grandson of Obama. You can get things done. You make a couple of calls, things get sorted out. But his faith made him rather identify with the people of God rather than the rich and the famous. Many people looked at Pharaoh and his wealth and his palace, and they wished they could be part of that. Moses looked at the royal palace and all of these things, and he knew it was doomed to pass away because he could see with the eyes of faith. Faith sees the glory of the people of God. Most people looked at the Israelites and they just saw a motley bunch of slaves making bricks in the sun. Moses looked at them and he saw the glory of the people of God. He saw the bride of Christ. He was in the desert when he met with God. But he left the desert to come back and reconnect with the people of God. There's so many Christians today, they know God in the desert, but God is saying to them, you need to get back in the church. You need to reconnect with the people of God. Hallelujah. And that's what Moses did. He reconnected with the people of God. And so by faith, Moses refused the fame, the pleasures, the treasures, the politics, the religion, the culture, the idolatry of Egypt for the things of God. He kept the Passover and he sprinkled the blood. Hallelujah. And so as I say to you and to myself this year, friends, as we enter 2015, let's keep our eyes on Jesus. Let's stay under the blood of Jesus. Amen. Let's continue to identify with the people of God. Let's stay together. Let's be part of the church. Let's trust Jesus this year. Who knows what God may do this year? Who knows? Last year was an amazing year. Who knows what God's going to do this year? Let's go forward in faith, keeping our eyes on Jesus, seeing Him who is invisible. Amen? Trusting God for great things this year. In Matthew 26, verse 26, Jesus sat at the table with his disciples, and they knew all about the Passover. They were Jewish boys. They knew all about the Passover. They celebrated it every year, and they expected Jesus to go through a normal Passover meal with them. And yet he did something very different. And some of the commentators say they actually celebrated the Last Supper the day before, because he brought it forward, because he knew the next day he would be dead. He was the one who was going to lay down his life. And so he took the bread like this with the disciples, and he broke the bread, as they normally do at the Passover meal. And instead of looking back at Egypt and the Israelites, he broke the bread and he looked at them and he said, "This bread is now the new covenant. My body that's going to be broken for you." Hallelujah. This blood is now not just the blood of a lamb or a goat, but Jesus said, "This is my blood poured out for the forgiveness of all your sins." And what did Jesus say? He said, "Take and eat it, take and drink it. For every time you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you celebrate the Lord's death and resurrection, and you wait for his return." Hallelujah. And friends, that's what we're doing this morning. We're starting this year off. I just thought it'd be so great to start the year of just breaking bread this morning, remembering what Jesus has done. Hallelujah. And we want this whole area and neighborhood to know, if you come to this church, you come to this place, you're going to hear Jesus here. Every week, every day, they've got one message in that place. It's Jesus. It's wonderful. Because we'll never plummet the depths and the richness and the heights and the glory of Christ, our Passover Lamb. Hallelujah. And so this morning we come with grateful hearts. We come to celebrate the precious blood of Jesus. Covers our sins. Satisfies God. The perfect Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Jesus, our Passover Lamb. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much. We thank you so much, Lord, that we're part of the people of God. Lord, thank you so much for electing us and choosing us and bringing us in. Lord, thank you. We're not out there somewhere trying to work it out without you. Thank you for your blood, Lord, that was shed for us, that covers our lives. Lord, thank you for a new year, that we can go into this year keeping our eyes on you. Lord, we want to keep under the blood this year. We don't want to stray from the blood of Jesus. We don't want to neglect the blood of Jesus this year. Won't you help us, Lord, to remember your blood and to celebrate all that you've done for us, we pray. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Even as we eat this morning and we drink, Lord, draw us closer to you, we pray. Deal with our lives, Lord. Any sin, any disobedience, Lord, deal with us, we pray. Make us more like Jesus in every way. And get us ready, Lord, to take our inheritance. Get us ready to lay hold of all you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.